stretching my weakness. And I just, being weak is quite releasing in a way, isn't it? It's not down to what? It's down to him. I'm just feeling a bit of liberation there. Would anyone mind reading some Greek and reference? So we
what version?
Oh, any version. The learning records. Nature. You're right. The thing God was putting in my mind was God is eternal. Another aspect of who he is, and it's a bit of a journey because I didn't get what I thought I'd go with this, but I just wanted to ask, I didn't get a definition of eternal. What does that make you think of? What is it? Eternal.
Everlasting.
Yeah. Yeah. The other.
And then that Jesus said that eternal life is to me God.
Great to have that eternity. Whatever God is, it's for eternity. The many good things about it. So I'm just going to read a few references about him being eternal. The Psalm 119:89, your word, O Lord, is eternal. Your faithfulness stands through all generations. You established the earth and it endures. Your laws endure to this day. All things serve you. Isaiah 26, verse 4. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is the rock eternal. Deuteronomy 33, verse 27. There is no one else like the God of Jeshurun who rides on the heavens to help you on the clouds in his majesty. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath me the everlasting arm. Ooh, I love that. He will drive out your enemy before you. It's in Ezekiel 3. Isaiah 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, to us a child is given, and the government will be on his shoulder, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government, there will be no end. Ooh, there's so many more, but that's a flavour. Just the bigness of God, the permanence of God. It's just like a wow thing, isn't it? As I said, all the good things and all the what he is, it's forever. I can't think about it too much because my mind can't really work it out. But then God sort of took me onto that verse that said God has put eternity in our hearts. So this bigness of God, this permanence of God, this awareness of God, I suppose, he's put it in our hearts. And this desire to know this big, amazing, wonderful God has put it in our very small heart to know him. So that was Ecclesiastes 3:11. He has made everything beautiful in its time, and he has also set eternity in the hearts of men. Yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. So even though God's put this desire to know him, and this desire to know what eternity means with God, sometimes we don't understand it. You don't get it. And also we can be distracted, can't we, to chase after other things. But I think I've heard it said before, there's a God-shaped hole in each of us, isn't there? The tension in this all the way through is God's amazingness and our smallness, but yet he comes to us in our smallness. So I hope that theme kind of goes through. And then 1 Corinthians 1, verse 25, even the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom. This is getting perspective as well on us and God. Even the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. So, just this perspective thing as well. You know, I think sometimes we don't realise how we are, how small is our knowledge and our wisdom. And yet God, who knows it all, chooses to partner with us. It's just amazing. Winston, would you mind reading our passage?
Oh, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out with joy, and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off.
It was worth reading the whole of that passage, but his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Again, it's that. He is so much higher than our ways, his ways, and yet he chooses to use us. It's this tension all the time, but it's perspective, isn't it? Take our eyes off ourselves, but keep our eyes on him. And the partnership that we have with him is amazing. So in all his greatness, power, eternity, eternal nature, perfection, God chooses to partner with us. It's amazing. John 3:15-16, the King came of it all. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So God enters into our brokenness, again, our weakness, our brokenness, our separation from him. He's broken in. He's his a just amazing power has broken into our world and our lives, which we will all be eternally grateful for, I'm sure. So again, his strength and our weakness and our humanness, our vulnerability. And Romans 8 talks about the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Can someone read Romans 8:18-39?
For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. But not only that, we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn amongst many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, he also called, and whom he called, these he also justified, and whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Ashley. That deserves a whole space of this. Again, nothing there is really down to us very much. It's basically him, isn't it? Nothing can be separate. All the things we might see as difficult, death, separation, illness, you know, they can't separate us from him. And he helps us, even intercedes for us. In our weakness, he is the one that's breaking down these barriers between us and him. These words are just washing over us as well, encouraging us. I'm going to Corinthians 12:8-10.
This is all talking about his thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from to the elect. Three times I besought the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. I will all the more gladly boast of my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults,
hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And the dear local preacher in our own church used to read that verse, for when I am weak, then am I dynamite.
Wow. Again, the things that we might make a barrier, or we might think, oh, I can't do that, I'm not this, I'm not that. It's not a barrier to God, it's an opportunity actually for Him to do even more. And then just from our prayer meetings, we have 2 Corinthians 4:7-8. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show all this surpassing power is from God and not us. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus might be revealed in our body. But we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that His life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. So just an encouragement that this amazing, huge God actually is drawn to our weaknesses. He sees it as an opportunity. He wants to shine through our weaknesses. We may need to think of the strength, but I guess He doesn't see it as a, He might see it as a little strength. We might think it's in. Anyway, it's just, I'm just finding it amazing to think about this. I've done a picture which I felt God led me to do, so I'm hoping it links. So I'll just show you. It's not perfect. I'm trying to explain it. This is basically like eternal God, you know, outside of time. Some of the prophetic words we had as well was that balance of God being in the heavens and yet coming to be involved with us personally. So this was just like a picture of my life. This could be, not that this is smaller, but this could be Iola's life and John and Adrian, so that, you know, the book of your life. But just how God broke in to our lives, and then you can all do this and look back in life and think where God broke in or where God showed His love. Or I found it quite encouraging to look back, even the hard things. We're finding recently there's things in our lives that perhaps we wouldn't have chosen. But being able to look at them and think, oh wow, actually, God, that's an opportunity for you to actually grow a strength in me. I was adopted, and sometimes it does affect how you feel about yourself, or whether you fit in or belong. It's kind of a funny, but I know that I tend to be one to notice people on the edge. You know, I can't help it, I'm just drawn. I think, oh Lord. You put something in me that was maybe a bit difficult, but I now have that sensitivity. So just encourage us, you know, things that we might think, oh, that was awful, that was not ideal. You know, how God actually tends to do a lot, doesn't He, in those times, and it actually works quite deep things in our lives. So I just wanted to get that sense of His love and power coming into our lives. And actually, most often it is in the hard times. It's such a challenging time when we see more of Him. I feel God's challenging me as well to praise Him for those things. To say, thank you, Lord, because You've done this through that. So I'm hoping we can all, perhaps even now, have a few minutes of just praising God for those challenges in our life, and we may see it as a weakness. But actually, even if God's showed you already how He's turned that around, or how He's given you something through that difficulty. And it is a journey. It is a journey, isn't it? It's not easy to say thank you. But I think it's quite powerful, this isn't it? So that thanksgiving as well releases more of God's power. So, has anyone got any questions? We've now jumped around a bit. Or thoughts or comments? Does it make sense what I've said?
I just wanted to say, share something from my five pound hands. Every time it's read, thank you. Yeah. Every time Isaiah 5 is read, so that portion where it says it shall go up with joy and be led forth in peace, my mind goes back to when I was in med school and there was this friend of mine. Both became Christian. A number of us accepted the Lord about the same time, and our fellowship was so precious. And this dear sister was going somewhere else, I can't remember, to another city. And so she came to UCH, to see me. UCH is the University College Hospital, where I was as a medical student. And she shared those verses, those last verses, and I can remember just bursting into tears as I couldn't believe that could ever be, but my heart was struggling to grasp it because of the things I was struggling with at the time. But now, when I see those verses, there's such a delight because there's a confident expectation that it is not only going to happen, it is happening. And what I want to share out of that actually is that it's happening for all of us. We will all go out with joy. We will all be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will clap their hands. No, the trees will clap their hands. The mountains and the hills will be part of the trees will clap their hands, yes. So for every one of us, this is the Lord's plan because He's building His church. We're all members of His church. And that's what we're doing. That's what we're headed for.
Joy is different to being happy, isn't it?
Yes.
There are times when we don't feel happy, but that's the time when we need to thank God, and that joy comes as a deeper thing than happiness. I just wondered if we could, we might stand here and just, let's just, if you're happy to thank God, you can say out loud a lot of things in your mind that maybe a challenge at the moment, or you want to give thanks, but I just wanted us to transition maybe from the difficulty to the give it to God and trusting Him. He's going to work actually, He's already working. His eternal wonderfulness will come, particularly in those areas of challenge. So would people be happy to do that?
Yes.
I'll turn the recording off so you can feel free to.
Yeah.